Today's celebration of the Ascension brings to a dramatic conclusion the Easter season, as the resurrected Christ is taken out of the sight of the disciples for the last time. The story of Jesus' departure is told as a change in altitude. This morning, I invite us to ponder this event as a change in the dimension of time. Much of my life has been oriented to time. Growing up, this was especially, if ironically, true on Sundays. We were almost always late to Sunday school. And so Sunday mornings in my spiritual formation were associated with watching Davy and Goliath on morning TV and stress over time. Dad pacing by the back door, Mom swatting away his barbed arrows. It's 9:30. Yes, it is. We're running late. I'm coming. Can't you drive faster? And on and on. I don't remember really ever being late to school, but being late to church was like a spiritual discipline in our house. For normal people, time is measured in calendars and on watches. For industrial engineers, it's measured in seconds. And I wonder if that's why I chose to study industrial engineering in college. There had to be some reason to make sense of this, right? One of the branches of IE is time and motion studies, the hyper-detailed pursuit of efficiency. Why do you think your UPS delivery truck driver is running to your door? Because he's so excited to deliver your package? No. Because back at the UPS warehouse, an IE has calculated how long it should take him to drive the route, open the back door of his truck, find your box, and deliver it to the front door efficiently, and management has told him he better beat that time. And so maybe I chose the field of study in college that can give me the opportunity, or the illusion at least, of controlling time. Jesus says to his disciples, it's not for you to know the times, but we industrial engineers thought we could. I had a job interview with UPS in San Antonio years ago to be an industrial engineer. But I didn't know the city all that well at the time, and I didn't leave enough extra time for construction detours and delays. And I arrived 5 minutes late for a job interview to be an industrial engineer at UPS. Spoiler alert, I went to seminary. The word in Acts 1:7 for time is chronos, and it means just what it sounds like. Chronos, chronological time. Chronos is the passing and measurement of linear time, years, months, days, minutes, seconds. This is one of two approaches to time in the ancient world and today, but today it's become dominant over every aspect of life. My wife, Jenny, is in Italy this week with a class, and so she's 7 hours ahead of us, 7 time zones ahead. So if it's 11 o'clock here, it's 1800 there, and I still have no idea what that means. But time zones didn't even exist until 1883, when the railroad, for the first time in history, meant humans could move fast enough to get confused about when to eat. So life began speeding up then. Life on earth is still speeding up. Lewis Mumford famously wrote in 1934, the clock, not the steam engine, is the key machine of the modern industrial age. When timekeeping passed into time serving and time accounting and time rationing, he explains that as this took place, eternity ceased gradually to serve as the measure and focus of human activities. Humanity's relationship to time was forever changed as abstract time became the new medium of existence. Organic functions themselves were regulated by it. So one ate not upon feeling hungry, but when prompted by the clock. One slept not when one was tired, but when the clock sanctioned it. And that was written in 1934. How much more now? Whether we tend to be punctual or perpetually tardy, earthbound life is dictated by chronos. We are chronos people. And if we let ourselves fall into the trap, this is all we'll ever know of life. A linear progression of events passing like telephone poles by a speeding train. But this is not life. Not all of it. And so ancient Greeks and scripture had another word for time when chronos just wouldn't do. They used the word kairos. And Jesus uses kairos in Acts 1:7 too. He refers to the times and the seasons, the chronos and the kairos of God's perfect timing. There's an important insight into the ascension, and there's a rich spirituality here. Kairos, blandly translated here as seasons, is what mystics refer to as deep time or timeless time. It can mean a crisis event or when the harvest is ready. Think of it as sacred time or God's time. Mark, for example, opens his gospel with the announcement, "The Kairos is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand." We live our lives in chronos time, but remember, God's name is I Am. God is past and present and future tense. God is eternally, evermore, now. God's time is not a future event, but an inbreaking reality. We catch glimpses of this sometimes. Kairos describes those moments when it seems like time stands still, when you're immersed in a task or in the eyes of your true love or in prayer. Kairos is the time of contemplative prayer. Franciscan friar Richard Rohr refers to kairos as those moments in life when you stop and say, "Oh my God, this is it. I get it." Or, "This is as perfect as it can be." Or, "It doesn't get any better than this." Now, these may be few and far between, but sometimes a kairos moment in life can feed your soul like fuel for many months to come. There's an element of serendipity, a feeling of seizing an opportunity in those precious moments where time stands still and everything feels possible. These are like little glimpses into divine sacred time. These are little tastes of it. Athletes call the experience being in the zone. Writers call it being in the flow. It's the experience of effortless effort when the yoke is easy and the burden is light. Chronos is quantitative. It's the measure of the passing of time. Kairos is qualitative. The fullness of time in a single moment. These are all ways to just try to catch a glimpse, try to put words to this reality, which exceeds us most of the time. One way to think about the difference: chronos is flat. It measures space and time. Kairos is at least three-dimensional: space, time, and meaning. Chronos is today is such and such day on the calendar. Kairos is today is my wedding day. Today is my graduation day. Chronos is thinking about what I need to do tomorrow. kairos is being present to the moment and the people you're with in it. Chronos is, I have a lot of work to do. I need to be efficient. Kairos is, today is Sabbath, a royal, wonderful waste of time. Chronos just happens and keeps happening. Kairos is received as a gift. Chronos is, God's in the future. I will be with God when I die and go to heaven. Kairos is, God is present here, now, and I want to be awake and alive to the divine presence of grace. The difference between these understandings of time, the divine, eternal now, and the earthbound progression of chronology, is how we might understand the ascension event. The ascension event grapples with the great ambiguity faced by Christians from the earliest believers until now. In what sense is Jesus both present and absent after his death and resurrection? It makes sense to me to think of it as a transformation in time, even more than a change in altitude. Jesus, who proceeds from the Father, incarnate, resurrected, appearing to the disciples and to more than 500, withdraws finally from Chronos to return to God's Kairos, taking with him his wounded, resurrected body to the right hand of the Father. Chronos still has a place for sure. Jesus wasn't an ethereal whisper or a warm feeling for the disciples, not even after the resurrection. He was flesh and blood, spoken word and broken bread. He was long walks and long prayer. And in the end, Thomas, who understood all of this, demanded to see the wounds on his Lord before he would believe, because nothing less than a wounded Christ is a resurrected Christ. And we can affirm an ascendant Christ. The transcendent one entered history and changed everything. He entered Chronos and brought about a new age. And then he departed again from us and took it with him. And now in him, all of our earthbound lives and their joy and their heartaches, all of it is brought before God's fullness, God's throne, God's majesty and presence, and God's compassionate heart. Of all the mysteries of the ascension, there is this. The membrane between the earthbound life and life with God is permeable. The curtain between Chronos and Kairos can be pulled aside. The curtain is pulled aside on Sabbath day, a day we don't measure in units produced, dollars earned, or time efficiently spent. Sabbath is a welcome waste of time. The curtain is pulled aside at the table of our Lord, where the mystery of bread that is more than bread and a feast is measured in nothing but grace and love. Two angels appear to the disciples standing agape and say to them, "It's time to get going. The world needs you now. As witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But as you go, you are not alone. You are never alone. To them and to us, the assurance is given, I am with you always." And so on this day and all days, may your life be rich with meaning, far exceeding the counting of days or the passing of hours. May your life have room, expansive room for grace and for mystery. May you have glimpses of the now as you go, as you serve, as you witness, as you pray, as you love, as you give and receive forgiveness. And may you know that all of those are a foretaste of all that is yet to come, when finally for each of us the chronos drops away and you come before your risen Lord into the full presence of God's grace, a grace embracing you even now. For Christ, who is with the Father and prepares a place for us, Christ is with you even now. Thanks be to God. Amen.